the biggest pieces of relationship advice that's often presented in books and on websites is this: to have a great marriage, you must learn how to compromise. Well, when you get two people merging their lives and sharing their lives, communication, which is one of the most important aspects to a successful marriage, isn't the only necessary skill needed to navigate through a happy and successful life together. Compromise is a big part of it, too. Well, between the three of us, Sam Rohr, Gary Dull, and myself, we, during the break, were trying to figure up. It is close to 110 years. Sam, you've been married how long, my friend?
I tell you, 40-plus years.
Oh, my goodness. It's well over 110 years of combined experience.
He just stops at plus. He doesn't get specific. Could be 99 as far as we know.
No, that's great, Sam, and it's great, Gary. We've all been married to the women of our dreams, and very happily so, for all these years. And so I want to try to utilize the wisdom gained not only from the Scripture, but as well as marriage successes and failures, those things that have worked and haven't worked, as we explore compromise in this second arena on the program today, and that is in the area of relationships. Gary, and again, I'm going to reference your four decades plus in the ministry, but what are the typical areas of conflict in a marriage relationship over which there can be and really probably should be some appropriate compromises made?
That's a very, very interesting statement, David. And, you know, you mentioned the concept of communication. And in my pastoral ministry, I have really found that communication is a big key. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if communication is done properly, that is, if you have the right communication based upon Ephesians 4, and I don't have the time to get down through that right now, but if a couple has the right communication, or if there's right communication in the church or wherever the case may be, then I think all conflicts, any conflict, can be resolved. So communication, as I see it, really is a key. But you've got the concept of finances. You know, 9 times out of 10, when people come in for marriage counseling, it has to deal with the checkbook and what we're doing with our money. Sometimes it has to do with faith or religious situations, particularly where you've got one individual part of the couple who is stronger in their faith than the other. You know, one might want to be more actively involved in church and the other one might not. And sometimes that creates conflicts. I think children, how to discipline the children becomes an issue. And then even family functions. I gave four of them there that I think really contribute to conflict within the home and the family. But I put a great amount of strength on the concept of when you know how to communicate, you'll know how to say yes and you know how to say no at the right time. You know, Dave, years ago, I had an elderly fella tell me shortly after I got married, he said, if you want your marriage to last, you need to learn how to know when it's time to say no, yes, or nothing at all. And sometimes that goes a long way, too. Just practical sense makes a big difference.
So, Gary, you are saying the primary areas of potential conflict in relationship are the area of faith. And boy, in 34 years of evangelistic ministry, I've seen that. One member of the family is a believer, one is not. Maybe one is a member of one particular denomination or grew up in that. The other member of the couple grew up in a different denomination. That can create faith conflicts, finance conflicts, and you are 100% correct. That is one of the largest things down through the years that I have ever had to counsel with respect to was finances, family or family time, children, the raising, rearing of children. All of those can produce potential conflicts about which there has to be at some point appropriate and legitimate compromise. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me back up and just remind you that the definition of compromise we're using today, it has three components to it. It has characters or individuals, at least two characters, maybe more, conflict that arises, and then concessions that are made on the part of both sides. Sam, obviously, there are times when one member of a married couple will compromise. He'll concede or she'll concede just to keep the peace. But there are times in a marriage, Sam, when there should be no compromise whatsoever. What are some of those areas in a marriage about which there should be no concession?
Dave, that's actually a harder question than maybe you think it is. Maybe you know how that's a difficult
question.
No,
I know it's hard. That's why I posed it to you, my friend.
You know, because I'm listening as we're talking this conversation here. We've talked about the characters. You mentioned that. Gary laid out the potential areas of controversy, and that's important to know. Now we talk about concessions, which is what you're asking. What can we do? Well, if we look at marriage relationship, I come at that a little differently than I would say the political that we just talked about in the last segment. And the difference is a husband and wife, they're two people, but in a biblical marriage, they're one person. They're unified. They've come together. They're in a different type of a bond and relationship than what two political entities are, Republican or Democrat or whatever. The only thing that binds those political people together would be their oath to the Constitution. And as we talked about, and theoretically, if they truly honored that, there would be a basis for probably preventing a lot of the disagreement that even starts in the first place. But that's where they have to come around. If they can't agree on that oath, they likely may never agree substantive. Husband and wife, to me, really, it's the same thing. If it's a covenant before God, and the wife and the husband say, one flesh, we're now together, we've given up other people, together we are of one mind and one heart, it really is factored a lot, Dave, by whether or not the husband truly is manifesting a love for his wife, where he prefers her to be better than himself, and the wife honoring the leadership of the husband. That's a relationship in the marriage part of it, that if those two pieces are not in place, I am not so sure that concessions or negotiations are even going to be perceived properly. But if they are in fact there, a lot of the items that Gary talked about, which are measurable, can be avoided. But at the end of the day, a Christian marriage where the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife respects the husband and honors him as told to in the scripture, it will produce the basis by which we enter into those disagreements and say, you know what, for Christ's sake, we must come to resolve. And if that's the case, you never compromise on biblical principles. Matter of fact, biblical principles direct what we give up as an individual, but we consolidate around what Scripture says. That is the way compromises in a marriage should happen. We agree with what God says. To me, that's about the only real effective one that always works.
Sam, excellent, excellent statement. Let me go back and just go over those areas that Gary said are areas of potential conflict in a marriage. Faith, finances, family. And then I'm going to add a fourth one in because it is a big one, especially in the earlier years of marriage, but it can continue throughout one's relationship. And that is in the area of physical intimacy. There's oftentimes differences of opinion and viewpoints with respect to that. And Sam, what you just said about what God has to say about all of these areas, family, faith, finances, physical intimacy, and agreeing with God on these things, and the wife respecting her husband, and the husband in honor showing preference to his wife above himself. Boy, that resolves so many things. But Gary, let me go to you because I really want to get an answer on this very practically. If in a relationship, whether it be the area of physical intimacy, family, finances, faith, both members of the marriage, the husband and wife, feel strongly about the issue, and they simply cannot come to unanimity or agreement. You're a biblical counselor. What would you say to them? How do they handle that situation about which they just cannot come to complete agreement?
Well, Dave, that's a very interesting question, and that question comes up a lot, and that question takes an awful lot of time in biblical counseling. You made a statement, though, that I want to back up to and then try to answer your question. You talked about the significance of agreeing with God. When the husband and the wife come together, whatever the conflict may be, by virtue of the fact that they are one, based upon what Sam said, if there is the determination to agree with God, that is, to work out the matter, whatever it may be, according to the teaching of the Scripture, what does the Bible say? Then I believe that the Spirit of God will lead them to a united decision. That is, a decision that will honor God, a decision that will even strengthen them together. The Bible tells us to submit one to another. And that may or may not mean compromise. But what it really means is to recognize who the other person is, to love one another, and the husband is to love his wife as he loves himself. And if he is providing the proper spiritual leadership that he should be giving, then there will be, because of the working of the Spirit and the obeying of the Word of God, an agreement with God that's going to bring unity and strength. I know that's saying a lot in a few minutes, but it's something to really consider deeply.
Well, Gary, I know we could all do this. I am just thinking of a myriad of illustrations where people, when they've operated as you suggested, have come to unanimity and agreement in those four areas.